Hare Krishna. At the Prabhupada Festival in Los Angeles one year, our god brother, Madhavananda Prabhu, told the story of the first time he led kirtan in Srila Prabhupada's personal presence. He was very nervous. But at the end, Srila Prabhupada was very kind to him and said that you sang very nicely. But one thing is that you should pronounce the name of Gadadhar as Gadadhar, not Gadadhar. And there is a tendency, especially in the morning melody, to sing Sri Advaita Gadadhar. Srila Prabhupada did make the point that it's Gadadhar. You were singing it perfectly, but some of the chorus tended towards that Gadadhara, and I think that affected you. It's natural. I don't know if it did or not, but just thought I would mention that. It's natural. We don't want to be different. We don't want people to think we're different. But anyway, Hare Krishna. Many devotees have expressed gratitude for the holy name, for the Panchatattva who have given us the holy name, for Srila Prabhupada who brought the holy name to us, for the retreat, for the organizers of the retreat, for the participants in the retreat. But today I was somehow remembering Krishna's quality of gratitude. And the specific example given in the Nectar of Devotion about Krishna's quality of gratitude is that when Draupadi was away from Krishna and in complete helplessness and dependence, she cried out, "Hey Govinda," Lord Krishna felt grateful to her. And the Nectar of Devotion describes that he maintained that feeling of gratitude within his heart, and that feeling of gratitude increased within his heart. And then Srila Prabhupada, sort of in his own commentary on that statement from Mahabharata, quoted in the Nectar of Devotion, speaks about how grateful Krishna must be to devotees who chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And I thought I would read that. The Nectar of Devotion, the chapter entitled Qualities of Sri Krishna. And of course these, not all of the qualities, but the first 50 are common both to Krishna and to the living entities, especially in the purified state. Any person who is conscious of his friend's beneficent activities and never forgets his service is called grateful. In the Mahabharata, Krishna says, when I was away from Draupadi and she cried with the words, "Hey Govinda," this call for me has put me in her debt. And that indebtedness is gradually increasing in my heart. This statement by Krishna gives evidence of how one can please the Supreme Lord simply by addressing him, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda." The Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is also simply an address to the Lord and His energy. So to anyone who is constantly engaged in addressing the Lord and His energy, we can imagine how much the Supreme Lord is obliged. It is impossible for the Lord to ever forget such a devotee. It is clearly stated in this verse that anyone who addresses the Lord immediately attracts the attention of the Lord, who always remains obliged to him. So, when we chant, we can be conscious, not just that Krishna's hearing us, which he is, but he's grateful to us, especially if we cry out to him. Genuine cry of a child for his mother. And last night, after the kirtan, Varshana Swami related an incident that not only confirms this principle, but gives us hope for the time of death. One of Srila Prabhupada's early disciples, as you probably know, was Hayagriva Prabhu. But Hayagriva Prabhu encountered some difficulties along the way and gave up the strict practice of Krishna consciousness. But Srila Prabhupada had told Hayagriva that because you once chanted the holy name of Krishna sincerely in Vrindavan, Krishna will never let go of you. And Varshana Swami related that although Hayagriva had really fallen from the strict practice of Krishna consciousness, but at the end, when he was approaching death, or death was approaching him, his only interest was to hear about Krishna, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. He said that when you went into his presence, you couldn't help but be reminded of Maharaj Parikshit, who just wanted to spend his last days here in Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is a fact. When I first joined the Boston Temple, I heard that Srila Prabhupada had said that if you just turn one screw for Krishna, Krishna will never forget that of service. He will never let you go. Now, we have to be careful here not to think that I chanted the name of Krishna once sincerely, you know, more than once actually, so I don't have to worry. Krishna will never forget me. Krishna is grateful to me. Krishna will manifest himself to me at the end. Now that sort of negligent attitude is actually an offense. It's nam no yasya bala yasya hipapa buddhi. It's like committing sin on the strength of the holy name. We think that our chanting of the holy name in the past or in the future will counteract our current negligence, and that itself is an offense. And the effects of offenses are very hard to overcome. There's another beautiful small book by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur called Madhurya Kadambini, in which he describes the nine stages of devotional service in detail, beginning with Shraddha, Ado Shraddha, Tata Sadhu Sangha, Tata Vajana Kriya, all the way to, well, through all the stages. Anartha Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, and Prema. And this stage of Anartha Nivritti is very critical. It's very critical. And within the category of anarthas, he mentions four different causes of anarthas. And he very analytically explains at what stage and to what degree they are eliminated. And the anarthas, you know, some anarthas are created by past sinful activities. Some are created by past pious activities. Some are actually created in the course of the execution of devotional service. And some are created by offenses. And all the other anarthas are eradicated, largely eradicated, in the stage of anartha nivritti. They are further eradicated as one progresses. Some are absolutely eradicated at ruchi. Some are absolutely eradicated at ashakti. But the anarthas caused by offenses are not completely eradicated until the stage of bhava. Completely eradicated means they're completely eradicated, but they may come back. And they're only absolutely eradicated. There's no chance of returning when one develops prema and actually attains the lotus feet of Krishna. So offenses are really very there was this anyway, it's a sort of mundane association, but there, I think it was Julia Childs, or I don't know, one of those ladies. She'd always talk about like removing those pesky little stains. So the effects of offenses are really pesky. They just, you just can't get rid of them. And he talks specifically about Vaishnava Aparad, Sadhu Ninda, which is the first offense. And there's a special fact about Vaishnava Aparad, which is that one cannot get relief just by chanting. One actually has to approach the Vaishnava whom one has offended. And one must repent. One should think, I'm the worst creature. I've offended a saintly person. And, throw oneself at the feet of the Vaishnava, beg for forgiveness. And that idea of the same mouth that blasphemed the Vaishnava should be used to glorify the Vaishnava. And he says that if one's offense to the Vaishnava is so grievous that even after submitting oneself to the Vaishnava's anger still does not subside, then one should continually serve the Vaishnava and try to please him in any way until his anger does subside. And only if that doesn't work, then one should take complete shelter of chanting the holy name. Just chant the holy name without cessation. But one should know that one will not get the full benefit of the chanting. And he gives the example of a person who's wasted away. He gives different examples, but one is of a person who's wasted away from high fever. He can eat, but he hardly gets any benefit from the food because he's in such a wasted condition. But still, he eats and he has no appetite, but still he eats and gets some little benefit and gradually gets a little appetite back, a little taste for food. And then gradually, after a long time, he regains his health. And then he has appetite, he has taste for food, he's able to eat and get the benefit. But we, of course, want to be careful that we don't end up in such a position. The other example he gives is he mentions, and I like this because it's so similar to what Srila Prabhupada has said in the first canto. Srila Prabhupada quotes the statement that by once chanting the holy name, one can destroy the reactions to more sins than one can commit. And Srila Prabhupada says there's no exaggeration in such statements, but it depends on the quality of the utterance. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says the same thing in Madhurya Kadambini. He quotes similar statements, and he says that if we don't get that effect by one single utterance, we should understand that it is because of the effects of offenses. And he says, although the holy name has such potency, the holy name being displeased with the chanter for his offenses does not give his full mercy to the chanter. And he said it's like a master whose servant has become offensive. The master will not give his full mercy to the servant who's become offensive. But if the servant, you know, recognizes his offenses and repents for them and attempts to serve the master and please the master, then the master will gradually give his mercy to the servant. He'll see whether the servant is, how consistent the servant is. Any of us would do that. Once burnt, twice shy. If we've had a bad experience with someone, we'll give them another chance, but we'll be a little wary. We'll be a little cautious. We won't just give ourselves to the person until we see the person is really sincere and consistent in his desire to establish a proper relationship. So, the holy name we'll see how sincere we are, how consistent we are, and then gradually give his full mercy to us. And then, when we chant even one name, Draupadi, Hey Govinda, then even just one name will eradicate all sinful reactions. Make Krishna feel indebted to us. So we should endeavor for that. His Holiness Satchinandan Swami gave a nice example in Delphi about consistency. He said, imagine you meet someone and the person is really friendly to you. He greets you and inquires about you, seems really interested in you, interested in having a relationship with you, really being your friend and helping you. And then the next time you see the person, he just walks right by you as if he didn't exist. So be confused, like, what is this person's intention? Does he really want to have a relationship with me or not? How sincere is he? And then the next time he sees, he's really friendly. You know, how are you? I've really missed you. And, you know, let's get together. And then 3 days later, it's like, oh, here we go. So it's like you wonder, what is this person's intention? So the holy name also is a person, it's Krishna. He he wants to know, really, what is our intention? Do we really want to have a relationship with him? Do we really want to serve him? Or are we sort of like hot and cold? So consistency is very important. And of course, now you've come for level two, so that desire is there. And today, I mean, these days, well, every day, it's been wonderful, but especially today's a special opportunity to really, you know, show our sincerity to the Holy Name, or try to increase our sincerity in relation to the Holy Name, you know, to such an extent that we'll never, you know, just like Krishna never forgets us, we'll never forget Krishna, we'll never forget the experience, and we'll try to keep it, you know, by whatever means. That should be our mood, and that's always a challenge when we go back. But certainly, the deeper we go while we're here in this association, the stronger will be our determination to continue in the same mood, and the more we'll make the practical arrangements to get together with like-minded devotees and try to keep that the strength of that intention and practice. Sri Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakura discusses the point that someone may think, you know, I haven't committed any offenses, but the presence of offenses is evident from the person's lack of taste, lack of advancement. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, although the person may not have committed the offense recently, he may have committed it in the past and is still suffering from it. And one could actually suspect that one did commit Vaishnava aparadha in the past life. In fact, Rupa Goswami says that devotional service is a continuous process, and that if one has a natural taste for Krishna consciousness, it's to be understood that he had made progress in his past life, but somehow his progress was not fully successful in his past life, most likely due to an offense committed against a Vaishnava. Therefore, he's being given, you know, he's had to take birth again, but he's given a chance in the present life to continue. As far as what to do, we have to take shelter of the Holy Name and constant chanting is always the answer, and avoid further offenses, try to serve Vaishnavas and glorify Vaishnavas, and preach to get the mercy of Gaur Nitai. They're so merciful that they, you know, like Jagai and Madai, they were so offensive, but they're so merciful, especially Nityananda Prabhu, so merciful, even to offenders. So, yeah, take shelter of Gaur Nitai, chant their names and serve them by expanding their mission of spreading the Holy Name and love of God. I think that's really our hope. And that's why, one of the reasons why Srila Prabhupada emphasized the mission so much, because he knew we'd need that mercy of Gaur Nithai, and that by serving their mission, the Sankirtan movement will get their mercy. So I think that's really our hope. Our only hope. Guru and Gauranga. Yes, Karnavrita Prabhu.
It seems like sometimes devotees have kind of a neurosis about offenses. Anyway, I just thought about that a lot. Some devotees, maybe especially in the beginning, but sometimes they can't even deal with each other because they're so afraid of making offenses. Or maybe someone like who's a guru or a sannyasi or something.
I appreciate your point. I appreciate your point. Coming back to the story of Rupa Goswami and the sadhu, I don't know if he committed an offense, but his meditation broke. And the sadhu was also afraid that he had committed an offense against Rupa Goswami by thinking such an exalted person as Rupa Goswami might have laughed at him. So he immediately went to Sanatan Goswami and said, you know, this happened. I think I offended Rupa Goswami by thinking that he was mocking me or laughing at me. And Sanatan Goswami said, it's not possible. It's not possible. He must have been absorbed in Krishna Lila. And when Rupa Goswami's meditation broke, he was thinking, you know, he must have done something wrong for it to have broken so abruptly. Then he went to Sanatan Goswami to consult him, and then Sanatan Goswami told him about the sadhu, and then Rupa Goswami and the sadhu met and offered obeisances to each other and apologized to each other, and everything was rectified. So I think you're right. If we have the mood of being the servant of the servant, then, you know, even if there's a little misunderstanding, it can be worked out. It's true, ninda, that it includes the sense of malice, of envy. But otherwise, you know, in normal course, you know, we should be in the mood of serving the Vaishnavas, not avoiding them. In fact, to want to avoid a Vaishnava is an offense. So you can't, if you think, uh-oh, here comes a Vaishnava, I don't want to commit offenses, I better avoid him, that's an offense. So you can't really avoid, to an extent, but you can't really avoid offenses by trying to avoid offenses. That's too negative. You avoid offenses by being positive, you know. Not, you know, instead of worrying about offending a devotee, just serve the devotee, appreciate the devotee. And that's, then there won't be any chance for offenses. That's a very good point. Very good point. And if we look at every little thing, like one disciple said to Srila Prabhupada, like, I think I'm offending devotees all day long. You know, if I have to offer obeisances to every devotee every time I offend one, I'll spend my whole day offering obeisances and begging for forgiveness. I won't be able to do any other service. And Srila Prabhupada said, in the morning, when we offer Vaishnava Pranam, offer obeisances to all the devotees, we're begging them to forgive us for any little offenses we might have committed during the last period, and that's good enough. So we should, when we do that, we should, mentally be asking for forgiveness and at the same time forgiving.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Thank you.
Very beautiful talk.